Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this fourth Sunday of Advent. Is that sign language, Bill?
Sharon, yes.
Oh, to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. We welcome you to the Lord's house this day. I didn't see it at all, Bill. We're glad to have Jeremy back, kind of give you the lay of the land for services at Our Savior for today and Christmas Eve. Okay. Today, obviously, Jeremy serves us, and we appreciate it for both services today, the fourth Sunday. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, our first Christmas Eve service will be Gary Brody, musician organist at First Presbyterian. Jeremy will be back for us again at 7 p.m. So please, your voice is going in and out. Battery is still good. Okay, so come to either service from the congregation and from the community. We welcome you in the Messiah born to set us free. And for those on radio, WPHM, or perhaps the podcast for us here in the congregation, and for those who simulcast us, that is using the computer instead of a radio at 8:30 in the morning, we are live there as well. So this day is a service of the word. Since we worshiped last week, let me tell you what's been going on. It's been sort of a busy week for our congregation, for the community churches. Thursday was the fourth luncheon over at St. John United Church, and we gathered there. I was presenter. The ladies did a wonderful job in the luncheon, and we thank all who donated food for that experience. And then on Friday evening, we did our longest night service, or Blue Christmas service. Now, this is the first time we did it as the gathering of the churches of the downtown area, so we didn't know what to expect, but we were all surprised. Because from the community, we had over 36 people there. And it was a good experience, if you can call sadness good. But it is the camaraderie and the message of hope that Jesus Christ gives us. And that was good, really was. So we are here to celebrate, worship our God. And if you'll join us, we'll be doing the lighting of the candle. We come to the point, first week was hope, love, joy, last week. This week it is peace. So as Joyce lights our candle, the candle blew out, the light stick. God has a sense of humor too. It's not come my direction. And we'll sing all four verses. Okay, Jeremy? Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, during this Advent season, we've been getting ready for so many different things, but the most blessed and the most important is to get ready to meet you, not just as baby, but more importantly in the second coming, as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, triumphant, as a child, now a king. Be with us in the next of these holy days. Through this 12-day period, may we experience more than just material blessing. May we experience the spiritual blessing of having known you and joining us in our journey. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. And we continue with our service from page 2, Confession of Sin. Please rise, join me. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior, who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high, who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, and lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness, in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy. Draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of your baptism. Your sin has been washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads, for the reign of God is near. Amen. Our entrance hymn is one at the men's chorus that we used to have for 8 years, was one of our favorite hymns, Soon and Very Soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going.
continue, page 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise for the day, the fourth Sunday, is, O Christ, you are the light and day. We sing. The Lord be with you.
And also.
Let us pray. Please join me. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that binds us, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word, first reading by Judy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I want to start and let everybody know that we did make delivery of the Christmas presents last week to the two families. This was a little different. Last year, we delivered them right to the homes. We got to see the children and stuff. And this year, we met in the public places, which was probably a real much better plan. Little humor here, we delivered the wrong presents to the wrong family. So at least we didn't have to see the sad little faces of the children when we went and took the presents back. It was discovered really early in this process, so we were able to get with the right families and to swap them out. See, God really does have a sense of humor.
No, yes.
Just when you think you're in control and you have it all laid out, no, there's always a little glitch somewhere along the line. But they were very grateful, and I want to thank everybody. We fulfilled every gift item that they had hoped for, and were able to still give them some money also. And again, back to the humor thing, I'm just a little concerned here, or my reading that I got in the mail today was this. In the bulletin, it's like 2 pages long. So, bear with me as I probably stumble through this. So the first reading comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be one of peace, that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks, so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. At this time, we're going to have special music by Jeremy. Share some of them. Seasonal music.
Thank you.
Bürgermeister. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we have the second reading for the day. We have Katie bringing us the epistle, Hebrews.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our second reading for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. The author of Hebrews uses the image of religious sacrifice to convey the significance of Christ's coming. Through obedient acceptance of God's will, Christ allows his own body to become the greatest sacrifice of all, one through which we are made a holy people. Now begins our reading. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'See, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. And if you're able to stand for the gospel acclamation, please do so. And we speak, "Hallelujah, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be for me according to your word. Hallelujah." The gospel for the day is from Luke, first chapter, verse 39 begins us. "Glory to you, O Lord." And in those days, Mary set out. She went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and was greeted by Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped for hearing the voice. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that would be fulfillment of what was spoken by the Lord." And Mary spoke and said this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his servant. And surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He's lifted up the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio, WPHM, and joining in our worship here at Our Savior, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Theme for the day is with the sermon outline inside back cover, and that is the humbled shepherd will feed his sheep, and then he will die for our benefit. The humbled shepherd will feed his sheep, and then he will die for our benefit. The Micah passage is one which would have been a strange passage because the listener would have expected if the king of Israel is coming, why would he go to a backwoods place called Bethlehem? Why go there? Why not go to the holy mount of the Lord God, Mount Zion? Why not proclaim it from the hilltops? Why in this little shepherd village would the Messiah originate? And yet at the same time, the paradox is that the one who was chosen to be the successor king for Saul in the Old Testament would be found in the family of Jesse, and he would be the last born, not the firstborn, as was expected in tradition and culture, but it would be the last born in this podunk little place called Bethlehem. And sure enough, God's will would be done in David's life as it would be done in Jesus' life. And it's that understanding that God does choose people and opportunities that you and I would never have thought of possibly being an agent of God. This is the shepherd who has come in this humble way. He has come to his people. And so the reading from Micah, O you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you're one of the little clans of Judah. But from you has come forth for me one who will rule over my people and nation Israel. Your origin has been a significant part of my plan, God speaking through the prophet. From the days gone by, from the ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor was brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. He shall stand, that is the Messiah. He will feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name of the Lord God. And they shall live secure, for now he will be great to the very ends of the earth. He shall be the one of peace, and I that I may drink. And it's that understanding on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, with the theme of peace, that the Messiah, the one anointed to be God's servant in this world, will also be the agent for peace. And if you look at the contemporary scene, you know there's a hunger and a thirst for peace in the world. It's not just military. It sure be nice to have peace in language when people talk to each other. Sure be nice to have peace on the highways when you're going down and people grab the parking space before you. People beat you to the pass and making a turn. Whatever it is, in human life, we hunger, we thirst for peace. And then among the nations of the world, we may pull out of nations like Syria, pull out of other places where there's been conflict or the presence of military people, but that doesn't mean there's going to be peace. It just means we're exiting stage left. If we're really sincere, we have to pray for the peace of the world, not just the peace of the United States, for the healing of the nations, not just for the restoration of our people. For this God of ours is a God who is international. He did not favor just Israel, and he tried to kind of slap their hand occasionally when they got a little arrogant about themselves. A God is a God for everybody. God wants peace in this world, a setting aside of attitude and behavior among people who want to call themselves his children. The one who will establish it is the Messiah, and he shall bring his reign to this world. Second reading is Hebrews, page 7. Talking about sacrifices, which is what the book of Hebrews is about, it's written to a Jewish audience. So if you have some Old Testament background, it's helpful to understand what is being spoken of here. He quotes from the scriptures. We believe it's the Apostle Paul, though it's not documented who wrote it. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but you have desired a body that you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. And then I said, the Messiah, see, God has come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. And when he had said it above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, or even sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. And then he added, see, I've come to do your will. And then he abolishes the first, which was the law and the sacrifices, to establish an attitude of freedom and relationship for us and our God. All this is done by God's will, that we would be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It seems kind of inappropriate that before we celebrate his birth, we're going to be talking about his dying. But that birth has no meaning unless we understand his dying. On Thursday at the Advent luncheon, I seem to get nailed to include, as I work on my message for our luncheon group, some piece of music. Well, for me, this last week, I used Mary, Did You Know? And if you're familiar with the words and the lyrics, and I provided a set of words, and I have some on the back table, if you love the hymn, but you just don't have the lyrics, they're back there. When the words of Mark Lowry are set to that beautiful tune, along with it is a deep theology that Christ's coming was to fulfill something that Israel really needed, though they didn't understand it. Okay, make sense of that? They really needed it, but they didn't understand how. You ever get a gift like that? Get a gift from somebody and you're not quite sure why they gave it to you. Well, the gift was given by God, and the gift was God, and the gift was for God's purpose, we who receive it in Jesus Christ. Consequently, at the end of Mark Lowry's book, which he made available, he sold them after the concert at Colonial Woods earlier in the year, are the words at the last paragraph. He says, you know, the birth of Jesus really has no meaning or purpose if his death did not accomplish for us our salvation. It would have been like one other baby born in a backwoods poor community that nobody knows whether there was somebody there or not, whether they achieved anything in their life or not. But it was to fulfill a design and promised reality, and this one over the ages promised to deliver us from our sins. So consequently, his coming is to be celebrated, to be sure. But I've always said, and I appreciate it, Mark Lowry did it so much better, saying, you know, it's good that Jesus came, but the best part is he came to save us. Any other baby would have been born, and billions have been, but his death and life and death are distinguishable, because they gave us salvation. There is no other meaning to his life except for what he selflessly did for you and I. It's the understanding of true love, agape, unconditional, taking us as we are and accepting us at that point. And then the gospel reading. Can't say too much about Jesus yet because that's tomorrow. That's Christmas Eve, and that's also Christmas Day. But Mary goes to see a relative. Her name was Elizabeth. And in her encountering, the baby within the womb of Elizabeth leaped, made a sensation in her body. And as Elizabeth explains, it's because a voice of Mary, a cousin, was heard, and it stirred the baby, John, it would be, and make an impression. And then Elizabeth goes on to say, "Oh, why do you humble me, Mary? Why do you bless me by coming to me? I should be coming to you." But she was older. And so consequently, she praises Mary, but not to be outdone by Mary's praise of God. Hear me on that. Mary's Magnificat, as it's called in the church, is also compared to Hannah, mother of Samuel. Very similar language. This is not accidental. Old Testament, New Testament. It speaks about a God who raises up the lowly, the ones that you and I would walk by and never notice, right? But God notices everybody. Remember how Jesus said, God knows everything, and even the hairs on your head are numbered. He knows us frontwards and backwards. And Mary understands that God does the unexplainable and the true nature and substance of love. He takes us as we are, humbled, and he makes us raised up by his power and his glory. He has shared with us his power, his grandeur. He has brought down the powerful, but he has raised up the lowly. I wonder if the world ever got the logic of how God operated. It'd be a scary thing. Because the blessed in this world are the ones who think they deserve it. And they have acquired it because of hard work and great labors on their part. And then we hear these humbling words that say, God raised you up. This is not your doing. It is God who brings you to these things. The rich, they get sent away. The hungry, they were going to be tended to by God. He will feed him. According to the promise he has made to those who went before us, our ancestors, to Abraham, to all his descendants, his promise is forevermore. That whole understanding that this God of ours deals in opposites. I always like how Luther will explain in his sermons and through his theology. He says God deals in opposites, and that God does the things that people would never expect God to do. He's the obscure God. He's the hidden God. From choosing a Bethlehem, choosing a carpenter's son, choosing this entry into the world, and even the first guests who come to see the baby are shepherds who would stink to high heaven. And these are the ones who meet the Savior, because this is the way God is. Not the way people are. God raises up the lowly and welcomes them to his presence. So tomorrow when we come for Christmas Eve, it is the Lord we come to greet, whose praises we sing, whose word we hear, whose sacrament he has shared. And it is that God who came to dwell among us. And I like how the scripture says, and we beheld his glory. Glory as the only Son of God. May the Lord Jesus, who's been with us and will continue with us through our journey of life, keep us strong in his word and by his spirit. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Lo, How a Rose is Growing. Please sing. And as Marcia leads us, page 12 in our service folder.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Faithful Lord, you keep your promises. Move your church to sing like Mary and rejoice like Elizabeth. Teach us to sing of your faithfulness all our days. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ancient of days, with joy you danced over the waters and birthed creation. Give us joy in caring for the soil beneath us, the water around us, and the sky above us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Prince of Peace, your sacrifice gives abundant life to all. Raise up leaders in every nation whose goals are health and well-being for all people and creation. Grant them wisdom and compassion to serve as you would have them serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Good Shepherd, you feed your flock. Fill the hungry with good things. Lift up the lowly. Accompany the refugee. Comfort the lonely. Heal the sick. Especially, we remember in our prayers today, Iris Cook, Alexandra Roston, Elvira and Joel Colhart, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, John Jaskowski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Bob Shirky, Sharon Cunningham, Doug McLean, Jeff Parker's Uncle Tom, Daniel Baisley, Linda Leonard, Holly Allen and her mother, Derek Kilborn. We ask that you would comfort the family of Donald Wilkie with his passing. We remember and pray for the men and women serving our nation, both here at home and overseas, including Tristan Morrison, Corey Middleton, Jamie Sollier, and Jaron Sollier, and Rob Nolan. Send us in haste to surround them with your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Love incarnate, you are with us at the manger, on the cross, and on the resurrection road. Walk with all who live with depression, grief, or heartache in this season. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ever-living God, you are Alpha and Omega. We thank you for all who sing now in the heavenly choir, especially those dear to us. Join our voices with theirs in praise of the Christ child. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Confident that the Holy Spirit does intercede for us, we bring to you, O Lord, these prayers and those unspoken. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And if you join us as we sing together the Lord's Prayer for this day, please. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of Christ Church. These last several weeks of my ministry among us, dealing with death and dying has become a reality. Iris is still alive, I want you to know that. But she'll probably never be back here to our Savior as she completes her life. Talking yesterday to Emma, I said, why is Iris not answered her phone for a few days. And Emma says, I don't know, she probably wears the battery out and then until it gets recharged. I said, that sounds like Iris, but she's not returning my calls. She is changing her condition, both for the good and sad. She sat down 2 days ago, Emma said. She was creating now a fourth CD of music. It's another one of Christmas music to gift her friends and those interested in her music and her gift of music. And so she's been busy doing this. And this is up at Metal Lodge. Last Sunday, she went to her home church. Emma kept trying to fight her, but that's on her bucket list. So she went to her home church and played the offertory there. And then after their communion service at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, she went home and rested. Well, Metal Lodge and rested. Emma said to me last evening, she says, I don't know what to tell you, Pastor. I said, I don't know either. See, still on her bucket list is Christmas Eve playing at the 4 o'clock service. I said, Emma, you just tell Iris we had to secure somebody firmly and not depending on her health. And that if she makes it to come here, then let her receive, not give. So hopefully she will take advice and stay at Meadow Lodge, not because we don't want her, heaven forbid, but we don't want it to set her back anymore. So Iris is still on our prayer list and still diminishing. She was hospitalized at the beginning of the week. She was running 103 fever. And she was taken to Port Huron Hospital for 3 days of this last week. And she, in the course of things, she got home and home Meadow Lodge for her well-being. So, but she also picked up another infection and another antibiotic. So she's fighting a battle, and God gave her grace as she lives out her days fulfilling her gifts. Then yesterday, 10 o'clock, then at 12 o'clock yesterday, got a call from Shirley McClain. It's one of those calls you don't ever want to get. It's the price of being in ministry. Doug is still alive, but throughout the week as I talked to him and Shirley, he was diminishing. He was scheduled for surgery Thursday. He has never received it. They were going to install a device to enable him to receive something similar to chemo, but not completed because of his condition. So Shirley calls me at 10 o'clock yesterday, and she says to me, Pastor, that they couldn't do it, and that when they looked inside again at Doug's body and what it's going through, this has been rapid. He's lost 70 pounds. He, in the course of things, the one kidney left, they shut off the blood to the diseased kidney with full of cancer as of 4 weeks ago. Now the other kidney, which was functioning as of yesterday, was no longer functioning. So his days are significantly numbered. She called me back at 12. And she said, Pastor, we made the hard family decision to put him on hospice. I said, I understand. That's a tough one. So that'll be a matter of days, probably, till Doug leaves this world. But of all the fun we had here at the church, you know, if people think Christians are bored and stuffy, they never saw some of us in this church look like clowns and silly. You can serve God and have fun. You can serve God and be real. And Doug and I have gone through a lot in these 24 and a half years together here at Our Savior. When he joined this church, he joined it with both feet and hands and elbows all the way in. He didn't hold back. And so it's still up to the family what they're going to do, but I encourage Shirley, since they've been involved in a church there for the last 5 months that they've moved, you know, do the service there. And if they want to come back here and do interment, you're welcome, because they always wanted to be buried here. So we'll see what they decide as a family whenever he passes away. God only knows. And so we wait on God's answers. And when you know it, it's a Christmas, and it's terrible. And all the family, the kids, are going to arrive by today. They got the death call, you know, that he's dying. So they're coming in from parts of this country. Remember them and all who grieve. That's what we did on the dark night, the longest night. The solace is to remember those who do not have the joy, but they have heartache and pain, that God would bring peace to their lives until we're rejoined again with those who have gone before us. So for all in the congregation and the community who are grieving at this time, not only does God understand, God has taken action to deal with this. And other things in your bulletin, remember service time tomorrow is 4 and 7 o'clock. And that if you've got friends and neighbors, you would invite them. For those who are listening to us on radio right now, please know we broadcast tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Broadcast of worship, 7 p.m. for those who cannot get out of their homes to be here with us. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. And we sing, "Here I Am, Lord."
Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.